Hi, and welcome to Awaken Your Inner Wisdom. I'm Cece Williams, and in this interview, you'll meet Phyllis Kuroa, who's a spiritual pioneer, an attorney, and one of America's first public witches. She's a best-selling author and the creator of the Witches Wisdom Tarot. Phyllis shares what witches' wisdom is, why it is relevant now, and how it can help us to weave a new future into being. She also does a reading for us from her Witches Wisdom Tarot. So let's head over to this interview now, where you meet the amazing Phyllis Kuroa. Hi, Phyllis. Thank you so much for coming. I always, always love connecting with you. Last time we connected, we had such a powerful energy. So thank you for being here today.
It's a huge joy to be back with you and with your audience. They're wonderful. So yeah, it's a blessing. It's really
good. Well, it is a blessing. And today we're going to talk about the Witch's Wisdom Tarot, which is fabulous. So first of all, could you dive into what is Witch's Wisdom?
What is Witch's Wisdom? I think Witch's Wisdom, at the heart of Witch's Wisdom is the capacity, right? The knowledge that comes through experience that spirit and world are one. And that's singularly the expertise of witches to unite those two worlds and to help the world see that it is a sacred place and to help us learn again how to live in a sacred way because we're living in a sacred world. The Western traditions, the Eastern traditions have for so long envisioned spirit as if it's just energy, as if it just exists elsewhere or for some odd reason is male.
I know. It's crazy, isn't it? It's like, yes, God is just a male. You know, it's like, it is madness. Yeah.
But I mean, not to be vulgar, but I mean, why the Supreme Being would require a penis for the job, especially if he doesn't have a place to put it? I mean, this has never made any sense at all. None at all. So anyway. But the consequence of that idea that the divine is male, singularly male, and that he's elsewhere, right? That he's in heaven, all is not right with the world, or that the divine is just energy, right? And that we need to transcend in the Eastern traditions, we need to transcend this world in order to achieve enlightenment has brought us to the brink of extinction. And not just our own serves us right, right? But we're taking everything with us. And that is utterly unacceptable. And indigenous peoples have always known the opposite to be true, that the divine isn't just male, it's female, it's my dog, it's the oak tree in my garden, it's everything. That spirit is embodied. It's not energy or embodiment, it's energy and embodiment. Everything that exists is an expression of divine energy. So witch's wisdom is the wisdom of the earth, as a revelation, as a spiritual teacher, as a guide to help us find our way home back to this sacred world that we've done such terrible damage to, right? That is suffering and is losing its capacity to create life and sustain life, which is, you know, 6 billion years. That's been its magic of rebirth. And if we leave her alone, she will be fine, but we need to become humble. We need to dial back our consumption. We need to rethink everything. We need to learn from her. She'll teach us everything we need to know in order to live in a sacred way. And that's witch's wisdom, is the wisdom of the divine embodied by creation. That's our spiritual teacher. That's who we pay attention to. We come with humility and with gratitude, with open hearts and opened consciousness. The techniques help us to open our modes of perception to see into realms of spirit and to see that spirit is also embodied here in this world and by each of us, and to experience the magic of that. And that's what our work is about.
And also to, which, you know, we talked about just before we started now, how to embrace, just like Mother Earth does, she embraces all the seasons of darkness and light. You know, it's not just that everything is light and fluffy, which it often can be, but we actually witness
the totality of that. And I do feel that for me was such a big revelation once I started to hear the goddess calling me on her path. It's like, yes, of course. I also embrace the sacred darkness. There is medicine in that. There is wisdom in that. Everything in life is born through the darkness. So what have you got to say about that?
Yes. Yes. Our cultural interpretation of darkness, black, dark, all those things are negative, right? They're seen as the negation of light. And that's that sort of patriarchal point of view, missing half of everything. The womb is a dark and a nurturing place, right? Mm. The season of winter is dark, but all the seeds are within the womb of Mother Earth. They are resting. Mm. They're recharging. They are waiting for the return of the sun when the warmth will stir the earth and the magic of rebirth occurs and new life is born. But without that period of dormancy, without the rest, without the darkness, you can't find new life. You can't. All new life begins with a dream. So for me, this is the dreaming time. Mm. That new life begins with a dream. That's the seed of new life. It's also the lessons that we learn from the things that fall away. That can feel dark, right? When someone we love dies, when something that we have longed for fails to materialize, when something ends, when life ends or a project ends or a dream ends, it feels dark, right? It's sorrowful. But there are lessons to be learned. This is the season of things dying away because the leaves are falling off the trees. Beautiful orange and golden leaves are succumbing to the season and they're falling towards the earth where they will cover her and nourish her and fertilize her, from which the new life will emerge in the springtime. And in a certain sense, I think that the things that end, whether it's a relationship or a job or whatever it is, there's a seed of new life in it. And that seed is the lesson that we have to learn.
Yeah.
And in that moment of discernment, the energies shift. That's the alchemy. And it's no longer the darkness of sorrow, but now the darkness in which the lesson, the seed, what's going to come next can be nurtured and can start to take shape.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. Does that make sense? I mean, that's my perspective.
Yeah, absolutely. And I feel that when we avoid embracing the darkness, at least that's what it was like for me, when I avoided embracing it, turning into it, feeling nourished by it, feeling held by it, realized that it's a loving, beautiful, dark mother in there holding me. And I was just living from the light of my head, you know, living from the masculine. I was also frightened of looking at the deeper issues that I needed to actually tend to, that she also is the holder of, that she can then hold us as we are witnessing and transforming that which we need to release, let go of, shift, change. And she's the keeper of all of that. And it's not that it's hell that patriarchy wanted us to believe and therefore we fear journeying into her. It's holy, which our Norse goddess Hel actually means holy, which is the one that gave name to the word hell. And that, again, for me, was such a big revelation. Of course, it's holy. It allows you to become whole. It's sacred and it heals you. Yeah.
Yes. Beautifully, beautifully put. When one journeys shamanically, you visit what people refer to as the underworld. You can visit with the spirits of your ancestors. And it's unbelievably powerful. This is also the time of year. We said the veil between the worlds is the thinnest and we have access to their spirits and they have easy access to us. Even if you're not a witch, you know, well-skilled in the techniques of opening the door so that they can visit, they're right there. And that encounter, that capacity for us to be in each other's company is very healing. It's healing of our fears of death. I mean, I don't want to leave. I want to be here as long as I possibly can be. I have work to do. I have people I love. I love this planet so deeply and desperately. You know, I want to do as much as I possibly can for as long as I can to fix what we've broken. But knowing that the spirit continues beyond this incarnation is deeply reassuring. And I think it's one reason that a lot of religions get created, right? Is that reassurance. I'd rather have the experience. I don't want to believe. I want to encounter. I want to experience it. And when you do, everything changes. Mm. The brevity of life, I think the only thing wrong with it is that it's too short. And knowing that we can return, and the magic of the earth is the magic of rebirth, that our spirits are able to return in a new life, just as the seasons come and new life emerges. That's true for us as well. Mm. The darkness, I think, the confusion about the darkness comes from the suppression of the goddess, from the suppression of the feminine, from the patriarchal fear of women and women's power to give birth, the power of the womb, and the need to control it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Accelerating in the most horrific ways as this fascist wave rises around the world. It always starts with women. Starts with women. It starts with the other, whoever that is. And always it's the Jews. But there are, you know, depending on the culture, there's another other. There's a projection. I mean, that's the whole persecution of witches. W-I-T-C-H came from W-I-C-C-E. It meant a wise one. This whole conversation, right? It meant a wise one. These were the midwives, the healers, the shamans of our ancestors, you know, small earth-connected communities. And the darkness, I think, these ideas of darkness are deeply connected to the fear of women, women who bleed but do not die, women who have wombs and give birth to life, women who tended, who were midwives of babies being born into this world, but also midwives of souls passing over into the other world, and who had the capacity to speak with our ancestors, with loved ones who've crossed and who are healers. The darkness now, right, the projection onto the witch of, you know, that they're Satan worshipers and all this bull.
Okay, yes.
Garbage.
And it is crazy. It's like, talk about being, twisting it into such an insane idea that has been so pervasive that so many have this fear of the goddess, of the witch's wisdom. You say goddess and people might be okay, but you say witch and they go, oh, I don't like that word. Even if we've been on the shamanic path for a long time, it's like the word in itself then conjures up all our deep fears, both from, I think, the persecution that we've experienced ourselves, but also from the patriarchal programming that they're bad. And actually, apparently, you know, this, I can't remember what the book is called, but it was a book that they followed, you know, the witch persecutors.
Maleficarum.
Yeah, that the evil witches, they were bad, but the good witches, they were even worse. So it's like, I mean, it is so insane.
That's the word. That's the word. And so it's the shadow. Mm. That instead of being confronted, is projected. Mm. We're in the midst of that. You could call it the id, you know, to borrow from Freud, right? We've created over several thousand years a culture that rewards psychopathology. Mm. So who's running the world right now? Not everywhere, thank goodness, not in the genuine democracies, but you know, these major powers are all Xi, Putin, Donald Trump here, who's doing so well in the polls. What's his name? Who was part of the Brexit thing? I can't remember his name now.
Don't even go there.
Don't go there.
My blood starts to boil. Obviously, I'm a Swedish person living in Britain, so the whole Brexit thing really hit us hard. And it was weird. I had been here for a long, long time. I mean, I've been here now for over 25 years in total. And I had never experienced any hostility towards me, apart from when I first had my daughter and I spoke Swedish to her and other people didn't like it that I spoke Swedish to her. But, you know, generally speaking, well, as soon as I spoke English, no one said anything or reacted. The day after the Brexit vote, I experienced hostility just by speaking English in my community. It was like turning on a switch. It was, and I wasn't the only one experiencing that. So, yeah.
Yeah. Permission has been given to release, express, act out on the most distorted, suppressed,
insane energies. It's like an unconscious darkness. It's not a sacred darkness. I make a distinction between sacred darkness and unconscious wounded darkness. Yeah.
Precisely. That's exactly the point. And this is, in that sense, this is a very dark period. There are those who describe it as the period of Kali Durga, but to me, she is both the life giver and the destroyer, right? The two things held in balance, where the destruction is the organic cycle of the season, of the billion heartbeats that all living creatures have, that we come to the end of that and then we cross over. But she is also the great, the mother, right? So she receives those who die and puts their essential elements back together again in order to nourish new life and gives birth to it. But the darkness that is upon us now is the darkness of thousands of years of separating the sacred from its expression, its embodiment, from the world, from each other, from ourselves. And we've gone mad. And there's a madness loose upon the land now. And it's a toxic masculinity. It's infected plenty of women. But it's a reflection of the wounded, deep psyche of patriarchy.
And the wounded psyche the feminine from that as well, because the feminine also turned on itself and turned on each other. So it's like both of that. I do see it as at the same time as it's kind of loose, it's kind of running, do you say rampant? So we can witness it more. It's like a purging, it's coming up. So we can see it started, especially during 2020, but it's like visible now. It's not even trying to hide. It's visible now.
Oh no, it's running the show and it's loud and proud. And the wounded feminine, the new prime minister of Italy is a woman, and she's the daughter of the guy who established the post-war fascist party in Italy. I mean, it's overt. But you can't banish what you can't face. And so for all of us on a spiritual path, for those who consider themselves religious, we in particular have a profound responsibility, those of us who hold another perspective and a moral compass and who are masters of the art of healing wounded souls and wounded spirits, and who know that the divine is embodied, and who know that the divine is feminine, not just masculine, right? That we have a responsibility now to step forward, to call it what it is, and to engage even in the realm of politics, because that's where the polos, right, the public meets, to enter the public square with a different moral compass and a different value system, and to articulate it. It's very complicated. It's not easy, but it's absolutely essential. And in some ways, it is easy. Some things get more complicated. The conflict right now between Israel and Hamas, I think, is not being articulated properly. I look at that. I think what's given rise to it is complicated, but the analysis is not. You have Hamas is fascist. They don't care about the Palestinian people at all. And look at the way they treat women. And Israel is run by Netanyahu, who is a neo-fascist. He is. He was involved in dismantling the court system and destroying the democracy for all of its contradictions and problems. And so what do you have? You have a conflict that doesn't care about the people, in which the people suffer, being led by essentially authoritarians is a terrible word. Fascist is a specific term, but I'm using it generically. That's being run by patriarchal fascists on both sides, by theocrats on both sides. And the people suffer. that people suffer. I'm afraid there'll be more of this as we go forward. But to me, it's perverse. It's a peculiar thing that we do, that human beings tend to do this. Like every 70, 75 years, they go through these paroxysms and then they come out of it. They go, oh my goodness, that was terrible. We should never do that again. Let's create, you know, the League of Nations after the first war. Well, it's never going to change if you're bringing the same mindset that created the problem in the first set. And the mindset is patriarchal. And the mindset says the divine is someplace else. It's not here. As long as you believe that and live that way, this psychosis, this illness, this madness is going to affect us, because we have separated ourselves from the sacred. So our minds. And for those of us who attend to our connection to the sacred, especially the sacred Mother Earth. And that's, I think that that's why it's essential for us to come forward and to teach and to share and to help people find the means by which they can remain calm, balanced, nourished, reassured, inspired, and guided. Because it is a frightening time. It is a dangerous time. It is a difficult time. And it's easy to despair. And if you're not, to some extent, worried and despairing, we were talking about this before, you're in denial. And if you're in denial, the only benefit of that is, it is a benefit that inures to those who are doing the damage. It doesn't benefit you. It benefits fascists. And they're way ahead of us. You know, we were all asleep at the wheel. I wasn't. I've been yelling about this for 20 years. I have all these lectures. You can find them. They're buried on YouTube, that I was giving 20 years ago, that this is where we were headed. You know, Cassandra. Oh, it was a Cassandra. So here we are. But you can't banish what you can't face. And here it is. And so now the work is to prevent the damage from expanding beyond what it's already done, and to begin the process of healing and change and transformation. And for those who required this to wake up, okay, we have to hope that it doesn't have to get worse before it gets better. We don't have a lot of time as far as the planet itself is concerned. The scientific data gives us about 8-10 years. That's why I'm working so hard and teaching and talking and doing and write. I mean, I must write the next book. That this coming year, I'm going to focus on writing to share nature's magic. But we have the tools to stay connected. I know that everything we need to fix what is wounded is within us, and that we are enmeshed within it. It's all around us. We just have to take off the blindfold, humble ourselves, learn the lessons, and put them to good use.
Yeah. Like in any healing, you know, any pattern that you heal within yourself, any time where you realize that you've been, you know, say, for example, I grew up in a family where my father was an alcoholic. And instead of addressing the issue that he was an alcoholic, everyone adapted and made it into like the new normal. And then when I started to rebel, then I was made into the villain, because I was rebelling. I was speaking out. I was saying that I'm not okay with this. And then in the end, I had to run away, or not run away, but I left. And then I lived in denial for a while, because now I was happy because I was away from that. And then after a while, I could see I was living out various dysfunctional patterns with my relationships, with friends, with my body, with myself. I developed bulimia and all sorts of stuff. And now I realized I have to take the blindfolds off. I have to start to witness what's going on within me, because what was going on within me was a direct connection with what was happening as I was growing up. And then starting to heal that within me, and over time, starting to bring that healing, that medicine into my relationships. I can be with my husband and it's a really good relationship, and starting to weave something new into being. And I think sometimes with all of this that's happening, I've had many of my students saying, you know, what can we do? What can we do? And I feel, of course, you witness what is going on out there. But I also journey in. I journey into the spirit world, and I see these patterns in that domain, and I'm showing up to do a lot of healing, a lot of clearness. I think that's where my skill set is best put to use, rather than, for me, politics is not my thing, but definitely journey in like a Valkyrie. I'm in there and I'm clearing it and I'm working with it. And it's, you know, it's a full on, at times it's a full on battle going on. Yes, in these other domains. It's the only way to explain it, actually. So I think for those of us that are listening, I really feel that we are all called to step in where we can be most at use in service. And for some, like for you, you're such an advocate. You always have been, haven't you? You've always been there. That's your thing. For me, it's the healing. You know, it's helping and tending in on that domain. And for others, it will be in their own way, but, and also obviously to find peace within ourselves where there's conflict in our own lives so that we don't carry that insane energy of patriarchal programming in our own lives, which is very easy to do if you don't start to wake up to it. So we can all do something. And I think that's the thing. We can all do something.
All hands on deck. This is my rally cry, is all hands on deck. We need everybody. And as you said, I mean, this is the one of the reasons that I have a great affection is such a trivial word, such a deep gratitude for my spiritual path and my spiritual practice, which has evolved and continue, you know, to deepen and evolve and get simpler, I think, in many ways over the years. Is the realization that everybody's path is unique. Because we're all unique. But the fact is that we're all traveling in the same sacred landscape.
Mm.
Part of that is an inner landscape. But as we were saying at the very beginning, for me, one of the things that witches know is that inner and outer, above and below, spirit and world, they're all connected. There's a flow. They're not separated. They're intertwined. The energies of spirit are constantly flowing into form, into life, into us. And the way that we live our lives, the choices we make, the actions we take, all of that, how we express our life force, right? Who we are as we go about finding our purpose and then embodying it and living it is an offering. It's an energy. It's a gift that we give to ourselves that makes our lives better, but also that we give to the world that makes the world better. Everything is intertwined. There's no separation. So when you go within and you help others to go within and to begin to recognize, you know, what needs healing and how to go about doing it, then that person heals and their life changes. And as their life changes, the world around them changes. Their relationships with people change. Their presence in the world changes, their capacity to fulfill their potential, their purpose, the reason that they're here, and especially here now at this time in this place, they're more capable of living healthy, happy lives. And when you live a healthy, happy life, I mean, this is my focus on the subject of the next book. And it's all, you know, the tarot deck, it's all over the tarot deck. Because it's all over creation. It just took me a long time to see it, to hear it, to be shown it, and to move an epiphany from a vision to an experience from head to heart. That, I mean, it's nature's magic, this organizing principle at the heart of creation that we don't recognize because we're so cut off from it. But it turns out that every living thing, acting by instinct, interpreting the divine code in its DNA, whether it's Foxy, my Cairn Terrier, or that oak tree and the, you know, the birds that are gobbling up the seed I offer every day, whatever, whomever, everything is living according to its essential nature to be healthy and to be happy. And the magic part is that when they do that, the effect of that naturally self-caring behavior is to make the world that they're living in a better place. Mm. Their behavior is what creates healthy air, healthy soil, healthy water, healthy temperature that maintains the vitality of Mother Earth so that she is able to create and sustain life. So everything is operating in this profoundly sacred way. Be healthy, be happy, take care of yourself. And the net effect of that will be that not only will you be well, but your life will be a blessing that makes the world a better place. Everything lives that way except us. Mm. And that's why we're broken. And that's why we've been breaking everything. But rediscovering the truth of that and experiencing it begins this healing process, this opening to all these blessings of air and water and earth, all the things that we're given in order to live. And we reconnect ourselves to the mother, and she starts nourishing us and healing us. And we start to mend, and we start to find the things that give us joy. And those are the things that make our lives better. And it turns out that those are the things that will make the world better. We have to, I mean, you know, we distinguish ourselves from all of creation because we have these prodigious intellects, right? The irony is that we don't know how to operate the machinery. So we've been operating it based on the principle of we know best and we're in charge and everything exists in order to, you know, satisfy our impulses, our ids, our greed, all this stuff, right? Male, very male. And the irony is that we've just been doing it all wrong. We've been using the wrong guidance system. But the mother's guidance system is clear, right? It's like, be healthy, be happy, take care of yourself. I've told you how to do that. It's inside of you. Do it properly with reverence and respect for the rest of life as well as your own. And the world will be better for your having been here. So we have this intellect. So now we have to ask ourselves the question we haven't. Is our behavior, are the choices that we're making and the actions that we're taking about energy, about economies, about social relationships, about education, the whole thing, right? Society, the rules that we've made up and how we behave, is it making us healthier and happier and simultaneously making the world a better place or not? Mm-hmm. And if the answer is it is not making the world a better place for all life, then we have to do it differently. Mm. It's not complicated. That's the magic of it. It's profoundly simple. Changing everything, not so easy, right? When you've got dictators and warlords and drug lords and hedge fund operators and all these psychotic, toxic, you know, patriarchs running around denying their mortality. But we outnumber them.
Exactly. And I feel that I think that's why so many of us are waking up, because yeah. I really, really strongly feel that the medicine that will heal the world is the medicine of the mother.
Yes.
That is what will readdress this imbalance. And if enough of us are waking up to that and start to embody that, then we will create a change, you know. So with that, because obviously I can hear you shuffling your cards. So I think a reading is coming. That is what your tarot deck is all about. So would you mind just sharing briefly what is different and unique about your tarot deck, which is Wisdom, and then also do a reading for us, please, on this topic that we just talked about for everybody?
Yeah. Well, one thing is that the cards are very large. I thought they're putting out this smaller edition. I got all excited because a lot of people were saying, my hands are so small. But no, the cards are still very large, but that's a good thing because the cards have this magnificent art done by Danielle Barlow, who is a hedge witch and who worked with me and joined me. It was such a blessing that she could do this in journeying for every card. She knew nothing about tarot cards, which was terrific. So she didn't bring any bias. And we had a simple question, which was, what does the world need to know? I mean, the world does not need another tarot deck. There are 8 billion tarot decks, you know, and they just didn't need another one. So it was like, all right, you've gotten a chance to create a witch's deck, witch's wisdom. What is that? What does the world need to know that they can't already find in a different deck? And the answers came back clearly, powerfully, with deep compassion and wisdom, benevolence, with keen presences. The presence of Mother Earth was there throughout. And then there were guides and spirits and figures that showed up all along the way. You can see behind me is a poster version of the pilgrim who takes the place of the fool. And with her is the fox, who is one of the guides in the deck. So the primary difference is that most decks are based on the Rider-Waite-Smith deck, which is marvelous and which works beautifully, especially for practical things, because Pamela Coleman Smith, with her transformation of the minor arcana with the depictions of human scenes, can be incredibly useful for understanding ourselves and for the practical questions of daily life and for seeing the future. But the deck was created, she and Arthur Waite were both members of the Golden Dawn, an esoteric society in Britain, although they were Irishmen. Yeats was part of it. Lady Gregory. They were very Victorian still, and they were very influenced by sort of the magical traditions that had managed to survive the suppression of the indigenous traditions. And they were much more masculine and sort of biblical. They'd shapeshifted. And they had this idea, which you see as Rachel Pollack, who was a psychologist and also a tarot interpreter and wrote a lot of wonderful books about the tarot. Any method of divination, any deck will tell you something, but what it tells you depends upon the values within the deck. And the values within the Rider-Waite-Smith deck are very Abrahamic. They're very biblical. They're very patriarchal. Enlightenment is achieved by leaving the world behind. And that's the journey depicted by the major arcana. If you look at it, it begins with the magician, as above, so below, and he's commanding, as usual, all of the elements, which is this idea that unfortunately a lot of young people who are coming in droves to witchcraft are sort of reiterating without understanding what they're saying, that magic is the manipulation of supernatural forces to manifest your desires and your will. Like, oh God, that's 100 years old and patriarchal. And let's start over, please. And their deck. So you start with the magician controlling everything. Then you get the mysteries of the high priestess. But the whole movement through the major arcana is away, up, up, and away. Aside from the devil and the hierophant and the judgment and the chariot and all of these biblical images, you end with the world. And it's a figure floating in space, you know, surrounded by... in each of the four corners of the card, the symbols of the four archangels, which are associated with the elements, okay, but which are represented in their angelic, their energetic form. So the final card is transcending the world, and that's the message, that we transcend the world. The journeys to discover the cards of the Witch's Wisdom Tarot, and the journey that you take through the major arcana, and whenever those cards appear, is down and in and through life, not up and away. It's into the world, into the natural world, into the world within you, into the journey of your life. And that is the way in which you come to enlightenment. You come to a realization that the divine is living through you in the world. That the divine is living in the oak trees and the mushrooms and the frogs and the foxes. It is everywhere expressing itself. And the guidance that we received, that I hoped that I imparted in the words, and that I know Danielle imparted in the imagery, is there is a guiding presence. It is the guidance of Anima Mundi, of Mother Earth, and of her children, all of whom are teachers and guides, the animals, the plants, all of it. They're showing us how to find our way home to ourselves as divine beings who have taken up occupancy in the particular lives that we find ourselves and the bodies that we're in. In the world that we are in now, and in the world itself. And it's a roadmap home into the world, into yourself, into the journey of your life. and it sees the world as it is, as sacred.
Beautiful.
And it sees you as a pilgrim journeying into that world to come home. It's a it's very healing deck, and it's a very responsive deck. And a lot of people are using it to reestablish relationship with the natural world as well as a relationship with themselves. And it's wonderful. We created it having full confidence in what was being shown to us and in our interpretations through image and language of what was being shown. But we didn't know if it would work. And it works. It works. It works. It works. It works. It really, really works. And it's so wonderful. Makes me so happy. It really makes me happy. It changed my life, certainly, the creation of it. Yeah.
You can feel it. You can feel it. Beautiful. So I'm longing for this reading.
Reading. What would you like to? What is it you need to know?
Let's do for everyone who's listening in on the topics that we have brought up or that has been brought up through our meeting today, because it's been really deep topics that I feel is on everyone's minds and hearts and consciousness, because it's rising so intensely in the world right now.
Okay, I've got it. And you're going to love this, because it really kind of starts, I think, with you in a way. It starts with the messenger of Earth.
Oh, beautiful. Wow.
And it looks like Greta Thunberg. She was our model.
Yeah, with the reindeer.
Standing with the reindeer up there on the tundra with the snow underfoot. She's the messenger of Earth. And she's got a somewhat solemn expression. And the idea is she's awfully young to be able to see so clearly the sorrows in which we have currently, found ourselves. And she can see the future that we have pointed ourselves toward, right? That we are creating through the choices that we're making and the actions we're taking now. But she also, with that reindeer, she also sees that we can make different choices. Mm-hmm. And that the beauty and the perfection and the blessings of the world are all there for us. We just have to choose the right path, right? And we have to listen to our instincts and our intuition to choose that. It's interesting. It's followed by the seven of Earth, which are these stags. So they're cousins, in a sense.
Yes.
The reindeer. They're all over England, and they're all over my backyard in the woods behind my garden. And it's the stags. It's a card of listening to your body's wisdom, to your instincts. We've lost our instincts, right? We put them on the altar, and along with sacrificing the feminine and the goddess, as we've separated ourselves from the earth, we've separated ourselves from our bodies, but our bodies embody divine and holy wisdom. And so this is the card that says, pay attention, listen to your instinct. Don't just listen to your heart, listen to your body. If it's happy outside, that's where you should be, right? It needs exercise. It needs food. It needs sex. It needs love. It needs joy. It needs play. It needs wildness. It needs to be in wild and beautiful spaces. It needs to be in the natural world. Your instincts are your part of your connection to nature. And you need to listen to them and honor them. And it's a healthy masculine energy, which is wonderful. When I see this card, I'm happy. My husband embodies that healthy masculine energy. And it makes me, it heals. It heals because we're living in a culture of unhealthy masculinity. And so everything that can be done to nourish the healthy, we should participate in. And then it's followed by the pilgrim. There she is.
Beautiful.
Right? She is nobody's fool. In the Rider-Waite deck, she's about, or he, they are about to step right off a cliff. She's not looking where she's going. Here, she's looking straight ahead.
Yeah.
Fox is with her, the symbol of our instincts. She's carrying a little bundle, that's all. She has a feather in her cap. She has this high step, the stars are above her and Mother Earth is supporting her from below. And what she knows is that no matter what path she chooses, she's loved, she's nourished, she's supported, that the world is designed to bless her and to sustain her life. And so she can go forth with joy and optimism and hope and confidence, knowing that she's loved. And that's the thing that we all need. We all need that. We need to know that we are loved by our mother and that she is supporting us as we journey into this world. The next card is initiation. It takes the place of the judgment card, and the foxes are tearing up the pack that the pilgrim has been carrying, and there's a crow pulling her hat off, and in the background, there's a badger who's carrying off her big, heavy hiking boot, and she's kneeling at the waters of life and sees herself in those waters, and she's drinking and washing her face and cleansing and preparing for the journey ahead, and I think it's a message for all of us to prepare to let go of the burdens that we're carrying, of the conditioning of the past, of the things we've been taught to believe about ourselves, what we're capable of and not capable of. It is time to put those things down and to see ourselves differently. Water is the element of our hearts. We need to see the reflection of our nature in the waters of life, in the love that other people have for us, in the love that the earth has for us, and to change our thinking, you know, to let Mother Nature take our hat, the symbol of, you know, how we think things should be, and take our boots so we walk barefooted on her, that we let go of the things that aren't true and that don't serve life and don't serve our lives. And that could be scary, but the blessing is that then we're able to find our true selves. Right? And our place in the world. The next card is the sun. Very different. The sun card in the Rider-Waite deck is this little baby, very prideful. And this is a young, somewhat androgynous figure. You'll see he's holding his heart quite literally in his hands, along with healing plants, with tobacco and digitalis and other healing plants. And the card has these little scars on his chest. And it's a card that says, we're all healing, and it urges us to undertake our healing, that our enlightenment comes by our engagement with our own healing, and that our vulnerability that we share with others doesn't make us weak. It connects us, that we recognize our woundedness in each other, and we bless each other as we share the ways in which we're both wounded and healing, and that we're able to guide each other in that process. Our vulnerability doesn't make us weak, it makes us strong. And our enlightenment comes, as we started this conversation, as you were so wisely saying, right? That our woundedness is the way, it's a way towards our well-being. It's the means by which we learn how to heal. We heal ourselves first, then we're able to heal each other. And so this is the card that says, heal, you know, heal. Confront the things that are wounded. That's how you begin the process. That's how you begin the journey. And don't be afraid to share them with others, because they'll bring their wisdom to you and that will help you to heal. And the last two cards are wonderful. After healing comes balance. It's this wonderful fairy tale card where the pilgrim is a little girl and she's with her grandma. It's very fairy book. There's the fox again. And there's a bird and a bear watching on, and grandma's gathering up the berries from the bushes. And the teaching is, take no more than you need and give back in kind. And there will always be enough for all of us. There's a balance in the natural world where the energy is always flowing back and forth between all the beings in the world. And we are exchanging the energies of life, the breath of life, the waters of life, the nourishment of life. We need each other. We depend on each other. We've forgotten all of that, but it's true nonetheless. And if we'll return to Mother Earth, she'll teach us how to live in a balanced way, in a way that is sacred. And the last is the Ten of Earth. And it's this wonderful, very cosmic card. It's the mushrooms, and under the, you see the web of the mycelium underground connecting all of the trees along the path of life and reminding us that all things are interconnected and interdependent, including the consciousness of creation and our own consciousness. We live alone in our bodies, and that's the illusion, thinking that we live alone in our bodies. Our bodies are enmeshed in the web of life, and our consciousness is enmeshed in the web of life. And so whether you pray or meditate or go out into nature, whether you chant, whether you do breathing practices, whatever you use, may you use it in a way that reminds you how much you are loved and how deeply you belong to this sacred planet, and how much it's longing for you to come home, to find your path home, to remember where you are, and to remember why you're here.
Beautiful. Wow. That was an amazing, amazing reading, and perfect. I mean, I got so many insights, and you can see how it fits together with what we were talking about before. Amazing. I love your deck. I think it's beautiful. I think the cards are beautiful in themselves, and your interpretation of them are awesome. So thank you. Thank you. This has been very interesting conversation. Not quite maybe what a lot of listeners will have thought about when it's about the witch's wisdom, but absolutely it is the witch's wisdom that's been flowing through you as you've been speaking all the way through today. So thank you for being such a clear conduit for this wisdom so that we can benefit from that. Thank you.
Thank you. It's been the journey of my life. I'm still learning, and I kind of held back for a long time. I wrote my first book after 20 years of practicing, and it took another 20 before I created the deck.
Takes a lot of courage to do what you do.
Well, I don't have a choice. And the more I do it, the more joyful I am. I mean, people always say it takes courage, and I suppose, especially in these times, yes. You don't have to be a witch. You don't have to call yourself a witch to make use of witch's wisdom, because that's the wisdom of Mother Earth, and that's the wisdom of spirit embodied by Mother Earth. And it's here for all of us. Mm. It's here for all of us. It's been a joy sharing, as always. I'm so happy to see you, and to see you well and healthy and happy. And I'm honored to have had this time with you and with your wonderful community of listeners.
Thank you.
There's a witch in every one of us.
And absolutely.
My job is to wake them up. So thank you for the chance to do that again. It's always a joy.
It's amazing, as always, to connect with you. Thank you.
Thank you, dear. Be well, be healthy, be happy. And I will hope I see you soon.
For more information about Phyllis and her work, visit phylliscaroa.com.